Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We're going to be talking about Countdown to Destiny. Countdown to Destiny. We've got 4 days for us to determine, for we the people, to determine what kind of America we want, what kind of city and state do we want. We've got 4 days to make that determination. And I pray that if you've not already voted, that you will vote. And let me remind you once again, we're not having an election day. It seems as though it could be easily called an election month because, as I understand it, several of the states have gotten authorization through the courts to have ballots counted 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days after the election. So I don't believe we'll sit up all night on November the 3rd and discover who's the winner. But I pray that we'll have enough information to have a good sense of it. One of the major problems with the late ballot counting is that they can make the determination how many votes they need for Republican, how many votes they need for Democrat, toss the others and turn the others in to try to determine the election on an illegal basis. We just heard of the situation in Texas where a lady by the name of Rodriguez, spilling her guts, as I would call it, with an undercover Project Veritas, camera, where she admitted that she had received $55,000 to swing, I think it's either 5,000 or 7,000 votes, 5,000 votes, I think it is, for the Democrats and for Joe Biden. And once she had gotten through with all of that, how much she had gotten, when she had gotten it, what she had been paid, how she had been paid, I'm thankful to hear that the one that's in charge of the Paxton, I believe his name is, the Attorney General of the state of Texas, summarily had a warrant issued for her arrest. So I'm praying that will cause the others to sit up and take notice before they go further with their fraudulent attempt to overthrow this election process. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about that in a moment. We'll be interviewing a special guest on some of the local and statewide issues that we need to be informed on. So stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'll be entertaining your questions, your comments, your dialogue, your discussion in just a moment after a brief monologue. But let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then further elaborates by saying in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So it's the truth of the Word of God that we need to turn to and recognize as being the source book, the place of truth, the book of truth that we turn to and understand what we need to do in society and with our lives and how God would have us to respond to issues that we're faced with each and every day. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that, ladies and gentlemen, locally, statewide, nationally, and in every area of life and society, especially when it comes to that which is called political, governmental issues. You find folks like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, AOC and others, that they literally despise the truth. But it's the truth that we as Christians, as conservatives, we need to lean on and turn to and depend upon. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a very powerful statement. Let me remind you of that. He said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are in an era that God requires us to stand for the truth, speak the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe there'll come a day in our lifetimes that it's going to require a Christian to be strong in his faith and to stand without equivocation for the truth, even if it hurts, even if it means risk of life. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment, as well as the landscape lawn care equipment for the professional, as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag there. Flagpole standing about 165 feet in there. Has Old Glory flowing 24/7. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find that American flag at the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat to you that we've got 4 days, not counting today, we've got 4 days. And I understand that approximately 75 million people have already voted. The early election voters exceed anything we've had in the history of America on early voting. Already cast their ballot, 75 million. By the way, there are thousands upon thousands of those that are now asking the question, how can I change my vote? Because the more information and revelation about the Joe Biden family cabal and their theft and the stealing and the being on the take from China and Russia, Ukraine, and only God knows how many other nations they've been taking funds from is selling America. More and more people learn about the corruption of the Biden cabal, the more they're wanting to change their vote. That's one of the things, by the way, that is egregious about early voting. Especially when you have early voting prior to the candidates being fully vetted and the citizens having a full knowledge of what is taking place in relationship to their life, living, and their background. Joe Biden's been in the Beltway in Washington for some 47 years, and yet look at the condition of that his hands have touched. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very clear in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's the question that should permeate the hearts and the minds and the thoughts of every citizen today. The scripture also says in Psalms 146:3, put not your trust in princes, that is leaders, nor in the sons of man, whom there is no help. The help comes from God, ladies and gentlemen. We pray and ask God to intervene, just as he intervened in 2016 and gave us Donald J. Trump. I pray that he'll do the same this time, this election cycle. We can at least have a four-year reprieve from the ultimate socialist, Marxist, Maoist, communist, Democratic Party takeover and control that shall destroy the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned earlier in the early part of the brief monologue about the one in Texas. Here's the article. Ballot chaser boasts that she got $55,000 to flip 5,000 votes for Biden. A political consultant in Texas, by the way, this particular article doesn't tell us, but she was a consultant for the Republicans. But a political consultant in Texas boasts in the new Project Veritas Hidden Cameras report that she's been paid a total of $55,000 to flip 5,000 votes for Joe Biden and the Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate in Texas. Raquel Rodriguez also was featured in a report Tuesday that caught her on a hidden camera coercing and bribing voters to vote Democrat, violating Texas and federal law. She's officially, this article does say it, she's officially a consultant for the Republican House candidate Mario Garzella in Texas, but she admitted that some of the Republican precinct chairs secretly want her to help Biden, so she's being paid to do so. What you call a double agent, ladies and gentlemen. She's working, getting paid as a candidate, as a consultant for the Republicans. She also said, I watched the entire video. It's approximately 40 minutes. Watched the entire video, and she admitted that she had three judges that were paying her to flip votes. And she said she has Democrat candidates that she's being paid by and Republican candidates she's being paid by. She's operating right down the middle. It's all for herself and not concerned about the outcome of the election. But the point is, it's not just Rodriguez that's doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic Party has already said they'll lie, cheat, and steal and do anything to get this election, because it is the utmost importance to the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party that they win this election. If they can control the House, if they can control the Senate, and control the executive branch, ladies and gentlemen, our two-party system will cease and desist forever. There'll be no return of a two-party system. But ladies and gentlemen, it is part of the agenda and the plan. This is the reason Black Lives Matter, BLM, has been operating, I believe, at the behest of the Socialist, Marxist, Democratic Party. And they are simply now chanting the destruction of our nation. Here's an article that says BLM protesters chant, "Every city, every town, burn the precincts to the ground as the second night in Philadelphia riots erupt." Black Lives Matter protesters in Philadelphia are recorded reciting a violent anti-police chant during the second night, the rioting in the city. It goes on and on in the article, ladies and gentlemen. That gives you a little idea of where we are in relationship to the intensity of this election. We're living in a nation today that's almost equally divided. And as I will be speaking Sunday morning from the pulpit, the collision of two worldviews. And I'll be dealing with, from a biblical perspective, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what this election is about and the importance of this election and how we ought to vote. Yes, you heard that exactly right. If you want to hear a pulpit message that will give absolute expository preaching directly from the Word of God as to how we need to vote, we invite you to come and be here at 10:45 on Sunday morning. It will be no holds barred, as I would call it, absolute truth from the Word of God, with documentation as to what is taking place with the cabal, the Biden family cabal, and what they're doing in selling America, and why it will be detrimental, biblically detrimental, detrimental for Christians, detrimental for patriots, detrimental for conservatives in the United States of America, if Joe Biden goes into the White House and sits in the Oval Office with any direction from his pen. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the Biden cabal is the investigation about that is being sequestered from the general public. The Communist Network News is not saying anything about it. I think a total of all of the network news, with the exception of Fox, they invested, I believe, 2.7 minutes even touching on it. But the one that is dropping the information is Tony Bobulinski, I believe his name is pronounced. And he is a former partner with Hunter Biden. And he talked about meeting with Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Jim Biden, and the whole group in relationship to their planning and strategical work toward selling the reputation of the United States of America to China, to Ukraine, by the hundreds of millions of dollars. And some few are the ones out of the 75 million that have already voted. They're now realizing that they have wasted their vote. They voted for the wrong candidate. They've been lied to, and they wanted to change their votes. But ladies and gentlemen, very quickly, before we introduce our very special guest today, let me remind you, a vote for Joe Biden and the Biden family cabal will be a vote to take away Second Amendment rights. Kamala Harris has already said when they go into office, making the plans for it, when they go into office as the Biden-Harris team, that if you don't turn in your gun, they will confiscate your gun. And if you do not turn it in voluntarily, quote, they'll send the police to get it. That's her statement. They will expand the murder by way of abortion, up to and including the time of delivery. Babies could be murdered at the legal behest of the federal government based on the authority of Joe Biden as president. He will destroy American sovereignty. He'll tear down the walls that Trump has built. He's already planning on bringing in additional 52 million illegals into America. He wants to make the DACA folks, they're claiming it's about 11 million. Reality, it's about 25 to 30 million. They will make citizens in the United States of America. He will force Christians and churches and Christian colleges and Christian universities and Christian adoption agencies to embrace the LGBTQ agenda. Joe Biden said that's his number one priority. And in that statement that he made to the LGBTQ community, he said, and I quote, that the Christians that reject that are dregs of society. So that's what you have if you vote for Joe Biden. Joe Biden will, if elected, abandon Israel. And the Bible is very clear. If we as a nation abandon Israel, if we do not stand with Israel, God is not going to honor America. We'll no longer be blessed as a nation. Joe Biden will pack the Supreme Court. I've got a stack of documents, a whole sheaf of documents, talking about how he is going to try to mimic what was done in relationship to other presidential backgrounds and what they had done in trying to stack the courts. I believe it was Roosevelt that had attempted to do that in 36. And that's exactly what the plan, if you look at his plan, it's exactly what Joe Biden is planning to do if elected. Perhaps you ask the question, what's the problem with adding additional Supreme Court justices? It will make it a super legislative branch. If the Democrats cannot get what they want through the legislative process, the super legislative branch, which will be the Supreme Court expanded and packed, that's what it will literally become. It'll actually destroy the Supreme Court's purpose with our founding fathers, and will make it a super legislative branch for the Democrats and the cabal that will be operating the United States of America if they go into office. Biden will absolutely implement a mask mandate. It's sad enough that in our city we have a mayor that's just going around willy-nilly every 30 days expanding the mask mandate. I believe this is the third time he's expanded the mask mandate, and I am in a great quagmire. And every citizen ought to be. I think there needs to be in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as across the nation, a rebellion on that, saying we'll not become sheeple. We're the people. We are going to make the decision if we want to protect our health or not, if that is what it is concluded to be. But Joe Biden says that he will make a federal mask mandate. The Biden administration will force COVID-19 vaccinations, he's already said, when that is perfected. Joe Biden will destroy America's thriving economy. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris together are not qualified to be president of the United States of America. And I'll talk about that in the Sunday morning 10:45 broadcast or the pulpit message. And I pray that you'll come. I want you to hear the full facts. It's just a couple of days by then before the election. But I think it's vital. It's necessary from a Christian perspective, from a central biblicist perspective, from a pastoral pulpit perspective, exactly how we ought to vote. And yes, I'll tell you how we ought to vote, based on the authority of Scripture. And I look forward to your presence with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have with us on Let's Face the Issues the former District 6 Councilman Matt Schellenberg. Matt did a superb job when he was in office for 8 years. I hated to see him get termed out. Thankful for his life and for what he has done in the public service for the city of Jacksonville. Matt, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak to our listeners today about some of the ballot initiatives that not just on the national level, but that affect us on a local level and a state level, and how we ought to respond to some of these things. Thank you for joining us today.
Dr. Youngblood, it's always my pleasure, and it's your issues are not only local but nationally, and I am always glad to take time out to discuss those issues going with you. And because it's
Matt,
so
I'm thankful for your stand
for our children and grandchildren.
Yes, I am thankful for your stand on some of these very imperative issues for us to understand. I've been surprised, I might say surprised, and yet I might also say saddened, by some of the positions that some of our local elected leaders are taking on some of these very important issues. Matt, just out of the chute, I want us to talk about, we've got three or four things we'll talk about today that I think our citizens need to understand, and that will help them to decide exactly how God would have them to vote. But let's talk about the proposed half-cent sales tax. They're calling it just a half penny. And the school board movers and shakers, I believe, spent $1.5 million thus far trying to do the promotion, the advertising, and the twisting of the arms and the deceiving of the public for that. Talk to this. Do we need a half-cent sales tax increase for the school board, for the buildings to be maintained?
No. In fact, there's a couple of background information I think is important. Why have they not been maintained previously? They've had $108 million that they take from both you and I, any property owner, as a tax on your real estate. And that adds up to dedicated funds of $108 million for repair and maintenance of facilities. And then you look at how they propose to spend the half million dollars. There's five areas. And you know what? They haven't changed until about a month ago. And now they're going to do actually a study on how to spend the $500,000. What kind of business operates like this?
They're pushing for the money. Then after they get the well underway to get the money, then they decide we're going to study and determine how that's to be spent.
Right.
Tell our listeners,
some people,
Matt.
Some people are fooled because they go, we're going to have a committee to oversee the spending. Dr. Youngblood, there's 24 people on this committee. Is there such a thing as 24 committee members that get anything done?
You'll never get consensus.
Right. Right, which means they're going to do ultimately, really what they do is, even if they got consensus, they send it to the school board and they can ignore it. So, it's a, what do they call it, a rope-a-dope? They're telling you one thing. They have a committee that's going to really examine it. And think of it, 24 people are going to do this for the next 15 years. And the other important thing is, do they have the time to spend doing this? These are volunteers. And if you want good volunteers, they're very busy with your time, as you are. You are very dedicated, and you have very little time to do almost anything else. Are they going to put you on the committee? No, because you're going to ask the hard questions.
That's right.
Okay. So what you have is nice people getting it on a resume. Like all committees, big and small, you have a small minority of people running the operation.
Unfortunately, that is true. And we've had several of our former key leadership, recognized names in the city that's been heavily promoting it on television. They have been very, very, very wise from the standpoint of their bent and their direction of what they wanted to do, of having spokespeople that look like just moms and dads and general citizens advocating for it. But, Matt, there's a very serious question. That is, what kind of accountability will there be for the taxpayers for the money that the school board gets, and do they have accountability now? I believe the budget is about $1.7 billion. Is there an accountability factor for the school board with what they're spending now, how they're spending it, dollar in and dollar out? Tell our listeners exactly how that operates.
So on the city council, we have a council auditors. There's 13 of them for a $1.3 billion budget. And the school board, there's less than five people auditing internally the money being spent. They have not had a complete audit of the $1.7 billion and how it's spent in 10, 15, 20 years. So how can you tell me that they are spending their money efficiently? And all you have to do is look at the recent spring board meetings in which Diana Green, who's the superintendent of schools, moves this money around as if it's fluid, and money is fluid. She picks pot money from here, puts it there. And you know what? The school board people are nice people. They're teachers. They don't know how to run a business. And when you don't know how to run a business, you just spend money like it's like taxpayers' money. They just spend it and don't have any accountability from Diana Green. And all the meetings that I listened to on the school board, not one hard question was dealt with. How'd you get the money? What's the budget? How are you spending the money? Are we spending the money well? Is there excess money? All that thing is amazing. And let's go back to the $108 million they have for running for facilities. $35 million was transferred to the general fund, not to repair or maintenance of buildings, but just to the general fund. So Diana Green and the worthless school board can spend it however they want. This is ridiculous. And people are being snowed, saying they need that money. That's over 15 years, doctor. That's $1.5
billion. $1.5
billion
added to the till, and right now they're not wisely spending that which is allocated, I believe, $108 million a year going right toward the budget for the repair of buildings, and yet that is being squandered and not used. Matt, hang
now,
on. I believe we have a caller. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
It's very interesting. You bring the board today. It seems like no matter what government you're in, local, state, or federal, they always want to spend more money. I think Jacksonville, with its budget, the number of students were nearing $14,000 per child per year. And there's always the argument from the teachers' unions that schools are underfunded. Well, that's completely ridiculous. You know, nearly $14,000 a year for K through 12th grade. That literally is nearly double what the charter schools receive, and they perform on par or superior to public schools or government-controlled schools. So that's something that we're going to need to wrap our arms around very quickly moving into the next 4 years if we hope to not be bankrupt. Well, we're bankrupt as a nation already, but the spending spree must come to an end. This additional half cent that the schools are at, it's not a half a cent, it's half a percent, people. Come on. That was the lie years ago, the half cent sales tax to do away with the toll bridges and the half cent sales tax. I mean, they'll always a half cent, a half cent, a half cent. It's a half a percent, people. You only have 100%. Come on. But on the other topic, of the day dealing with this upcoming election, I've got a question for you. What do you do with these folks like John Piper that somehow or another think there's an option three? Somehow or another, he equates, and if you've read his letter recently, he equates Donald Trump's past immorality and his Twitter rants. He, in his arrogance, his hubris, he literally compares that, makes it, you know, comparable to, equal to the mountain of babies, you know, with abortion all the way up to the moment of birth on the other side of the table. He makes it equivalent to all the evils of Marxism, communism, fascism. Somehow or another, this guy is promoting to Christians the notion that there's an option three. There's no option three, folks. This is a binary choice. You're going to end up with one of two people as president of the United States next week or the following week or sometime in January. It's going to be Joe Biden, Harris, or it's going to be Donald Trump. Which way do you want it? Which way do you want it? He's done more for the cause of life and liberty over the past 4 years than any president in my lifetime. What is going on with John Piper?
What Dr. John Piper is doing, if I can interject this, what Dr. John Piper is doing is saying that if there's sin in a person's life, he is disqualified to be a leader in the political governmental realm. If that is the case, then John Piper himself is disqualified for being a pastor, because if otherwise, he is saying, I'm perfect and I'm qualified to do so. We're all flawed, sinful human beings, but God has chosen to use flawed, sinful human beings to place in a position of leadership to carry out what he wants for America and what he wants for nations. And therefore, I say that Donald Trump is qualified to be what we have asked him to be by we the people voting for him. But you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your insight and for your call. I pray that as we vote, we'll be recognizing these factors. Matt, we've got about a minute left before we have the top of the hour news break. But as we're talking about that school board tax and what they're wanting to do to supposedly keep the buildings in repair, do we have the question as to whether or not academics can or cannot be delivered based on the quality of a building or the paint on the building, et cetera? Will that make a difference? Do we have in Duval County the highest quality delivery of academics? Are we looking at a shell game in talking about that?
A couple of answers to that, Dr. Youngblood. One of which is buildings do not educate. It's the teachers that educate. People moving here from all over the country, before the pandemic, and even now, they're moving to St. John's County. They recognize education. And the buildings are new in St. John's County. You know why? Because they're growing. The reason why we have old buildings in Jacksonville, we have not grown the student population in 20 years. We have moved the actual students to different parts of the community. But the last high school was Atlantic Coast, and that was, the previous one was 20 years. In that time frame, St. Augustine has built 5 high schools, and they're building another one.
Matt, hold your thought right there. We're going to take a break for 1 minute at the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Let's Face the Issues right after the top of the hour news.
Visit conservative.edu.